Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Empowerment Place Ministries and Using My Keys broadcast. This is your host, Valerie Burrell. Excited to be with you this evening with our special guest tonight, author K. F. Lewis. He's the author of an amazing book, The Game According to Life. Kay, thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's an
honor
for
me. Here.
And we're excited to have you. As I stated to you all, Kay is an author. This is her first release of a wonderful book. And to know her, Kay sees herself as a creative spirit, sort of low-key, you know, behind the scene, but truth of the matter is she's a phenomenal woman that can't be hidden. And I think that through this release, she's beginning to see more clearly what her impact and her purpose for being here in this earth is all about. And I think it's really to enlighten. But we're going to talk about your debut, The Game According to Life. Give us a little bit of a background as to how this came to be.
Sure. Well, you know, I have been writing for many, many years, and I unfortunately went through a divorce in 2012. And I had been, you know, writing little short stories here and there, and I kept saying to myself, oh, you know what, I'm just going to do a blog. I'm going to blog. I'm a newly single woman. You know, the experiences have been interesting. I'm going to blog about it. And I was sitting at lunch one day with a friend, and I just began to talk to her about the blog and about some of the highlights that I thought would be really significant. And I said, well, you know, maybe I'll write a book. And she stopped me in the middle of my sentence, and she said, well, that's not what the book is about, though. And it was almost like a light bulb went off to me, because what I thought I was going to focus on in the book, and it ended up being one of the chapters, a chapter about my marriage, was nothing in comparison to what the book really became about. And so I was so thankful for that moment, because it really shaped what turned into The Game According to Life, which was, you know, really talking about the foundation of my relationship with my mother and how that shaped how I looked at and how I interacted with other people for, you know, the rest of my time up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the background.
Wow. So the relationship with your mother in turn gives us wonderful, wonderful reads about some wonderful characters. Wonderful,
yes.
Characters.
colorful characters.
Yeah. Colorful. That's a good term for it. as I shared with Kay, I read the book. I picked it up twice and the book was finished. And I was like, oh, now I've got to go back and read the book again. But this time go back and read it with pen and pencil and paper, because there are certainly some things in here that are relatable to life as it is with relationships, but also relatable for me, individuals that I deal with in ministry. But we're not going to go there. We're not going to go there. So after starting this book and sharing about your relationship with your mother, which character was probably most painful for you to release in this book, or was there one?
You know, honestly, I would have to say I don't know if it was the most painful character, but I think life was the most, I'm going to say, the most enlightening character was life herself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because every single situation that life went through, every time she met a new person, the, you know, however that relationship was shaped and however it kind of carried itself out and even ended, really opened her eyes to something new about her. And I think by the end of the book, she really, you know, was able to see that it wasn't about all of those people. It wasn't about our mother. It wasn't about, you know, this character, Captain America or ODB or whoever the colorful person was at the moment. It was really about her, and it was about what she needed to uncover within herself. So I would have to say life.
I can't say I think. I know that one of the things that was revealed, as you just stated, in your book is reality checks about self. Because, you know, women, especially when we are interacting in relationships, regardless of who the relationship is with, we often find it easier to find fault in what someone else did or didn't do before we can embrace maybe it's me. And so for you to state that life, that character in and of itself is the one most powerful in the reveal to you, it says a lot, because it says to us as the readers that you grew from this book.
Most certainly. Most certainly. I don't think I had a choice but to grow from the book. you know, mainly because there were a lot of things that were being discussed, a lot of situations, some good, some bad, some indifferent. And life really had to make some decisions. And I say, I speak, you know, about life as a character, even though, you know, the story is loosely based on my own personal experiences, because, you know, life is a character, and it's not just about me. It's I think that many readers can see themselves in so many different things that life went through. And at least I hope so. And at least that's
definitely
shared, you know, with different people that I'm meeting. And I just, yeah, I think she had to grow up. She had to have those reality checks. You know, every time life found herself in front of a mirror and had that moment of clarity where she, you know, either heard from God in that moment or spoke to herself, it was a new, you know, level that she had to go to, a new decision that she had to make, a new, you know, a new level of maturity that she had to reach each time.
Yeah, because we are multifaceted beings, even as you were sharing that, you know, they talk about how coal becomes a diamond and how it has to go through stages and then it's finally chipped away for the brilliance to come forth. And I think for those who are willing to read your book and embrace the truth that's lying within regarding them, that it will help all of us be brighter. Our brilliance can come forth in a greater manner because we have a better understanding of what we may have faced and not dealt with.
Yes, yes. And I'm meeting people all the time that are reading the book and saying that, you know, this chapter or that chapter really helped them just kind of realize some things about themselves or admit to some things. And, you know, I'm not trying to call anybody out about anything, but if it's walking down your street, go ahead on and, you know.
Just go on and say, hey, how you doing? How you doing?
Because, you know, eventually those things, if we don't deal with them, they keep coming back up for us. And so I think it's really important for people to at some point, you know, you just have to realize, hey, I really messed up in this area or that area, and I need to deal with me. So I'm always really thankful for the people who come back or they inbox me or they call and they say, oh, my gosh, when I read about this particular character, you know, I had to really say, you're doing the same thing. What are you going to do about it?
It's been nice.
I wasn't trying to call everybody out, but it's been nice. It's been nice to hear the impact that that the work is having on people, and it's been nice to hear that it is, you know, I'm bringing up situations that I didn't deal with by myself. I don't deal with by myself, and that I'm able to help people. So that's been really, really just encouraging.
Right. Now, there's a portion of your book, I'm actually on page 39, because you're
okay,
a mother.
Let me open with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And you said, as my daughter gets older, I continue to think of my infamous soapbox regarding relationships. Teaching young women the appropriate way to date is extremely crucial during the teenage years. For many reasons, it seems taboo for young women, namely young women of color, to date more than one boy at the same time during that age range. I'm not advocating or even suggesting promiscuity, not in the least, but women teach their daughters, if they allow it at all, to have a boyfriend and only one, instead of teaching them to meet people without any preconceived notions or unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
I have to applaud you in that, because you are a mother and you've got a smart, beautiful daughter who's probably looked at your book and was like, oh, mommy.
She's not allowed to read it until she's 18.
And you think she's going to wait until she's 18?
You know, I'm going to try. I'm going to try my best to keep it from her, but she's a smart child.
She is a smart child. But I applaud you in this because, you know, we really do have to take a stand. You know, when we see our young girls and the different things that we see young girls doing where, you know, literally they think they're grown. And they're not. They're still young, and they still have to learn. But I think this goes back to what life experienced with her mother.
Yes.
And we have to look at what our young girls are dealing with not having true mothers. They have women that gave birth to them, but they're not real mothers. And so, you know, how would you, or would you even, suggest that young mothers get this book and sort of examine themselves to help them prepare for their relationship with their daughter?
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. I think, you know, I always say I'm not an expert, but I do think, and that really is my soapbox. The excerpt that you read really is my soapbox. I see so many young girls that just have this stigma almost about dating. And I'm certainly, you know, one of being cautious and educating our daughters, but I think because we know what's happening in the world today, because we know what's out there, because we know the possibilities of what can happen when we allow our daughters' friends to educate them instead of us having conversations with them, I think it's really important for us to, you know, especially when we're women of faith, to be prayerful and to cover our children in prayer, but to be realistic and to, you know, to let them know, okay, these are the possibilities of what can happen. Now, this is not what I want for you. This is not what God wants for you. But let me lay this out for you. You know, let me tell you what's ahead of you if you, you know, if you choose to go in the direction.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I definitely
Absolutely.
Think it would be helpful.
Yeah, you know, I wish somebody could. Well, I'm not going to go there. Okay, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because all of this is just really, it's really in your face. And the things that are in this book, listeners, you can't skirt around them. You can't act like you didn't see it because it's there. And, you know, you'll read it and you'll think back you know, for women and, you know, even men who may be my age or a little younger, when you think back to the times when you used to, mm-hmm. and you'll be like, Lord, that was me. Oh, Lord, that was me. Thank God for saving me. Oh, that was me.
I started saying recently, thank God for Jesus.
I know that's right.
Because he covered me.
I know he did. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I thank him. I thank him. Yes, yes, yes. Because there was some, The air was light. The air was light. Y'all,
yes.
I'm telling you, you want to get this book. you
really do.
But
you
I really
get,
do.
You want to get this book.
You know, I don't want to belabor the soapbox, but I really do think it's important for us to allow our daughters to be friends with different types of people, and different types of, you know, young men that's in their age range. And to
mm-hmm.
not, again, I want to be very, very clear when I say that I would never promote promiscuity in teenagers. Or really anybody. But, you know, when I looked at the statistics, you know, it was just shocking to me how, and again, I don't even want to, I hate to even call the race card, but it's realistic. It's real, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Our young white girls, they learn how to be friends in groups, you know.
Yes.
Many, many times. They learn how to identify, you know, the types of characteristics in young men that are favorable to them, that are not so favorable to them. And so then when they move on in their age and they get to college and they get to graduate school and they get into their careers, you know, I'm not saying that they always make the right choices. I'm not saying that. But at least they have a better idea of what they like and what they don't like. Whereas
yeah.
our young women of color, we push them to get an education, to, you know, to focus on their career, to be independent. And, yes, we should do all of those things. But we also need to, and I don't know if this is in the hands of our mothers or if this is in the hands of our fathers or if it's in the hands of the church or if it's in the hands of the village.
Mm-hmm.
To just say,
mm-hmm.
hey, you know, you need to know what characteristics in another person are again favorable, unfavorable.
Yeah.
Who are you compatible
yeah.
with?
Yeah.
So that young women can begin to build up a list of their standards and those standards not just including don't have sex until you're married. Like that's a very
right,
important
right.
standard, but that's not the only standard. You know, there should be some other things, I know, because I know we're raised, you know, being told, do not be unequally yoked. Well, what exactly does that mean? Does that
right.
just mean, you know, to not be with someone that's not saved if you're saved or not in church if you're in church or, you know, if they believe in God, but if their God is different than your God? Those are some conversations that I really think are important at a young age that need to be had so that we can begin to hear from our young women, like, what are their confusions around those conversations and around, you know, and then what are the parents' expectations? And
yes.
honestly,
yes.
parents, they got to be a little bit more realistic in what's happening today so that, you know, we understand what our young girls are being faced with so they can make some better decisions in their relationships, so.
I absolutely agree. And it's in those times that I think we as women, as parents, me being a grandparent,
mm-hmm.
that we instill these things in our children then to help them so that
mm-hmm.
when they have to start playing the game, they'll be better equipped.
And they will play the
because
game.
I think that
game.
we and, you know, I say we, you and I,
mm-hmm.
we did the things that we did, and we took we took the steps that we took because we weren't given all the rules to the game in the beginning. We had to learn as we went along. And so, oh, I got there. Okay, that was cool. I mean, it hurt a little bit, but oh, well, let me try it this way. And no one was ever there to say, no.
Right.
You don't do that. It's not that way. It's this way. So, again, that's why I'm encouraging you, listeners, this evening, get this book, The Game According to Life by author K.S. Lewis, because it will help you reflect. And it may even help you heal and deal with some stuff that you did. You know, sometimes, you know, we try to brush over it. That's behind me. That's behind me. But as soon as you run into him with his wife in the store, you got an attitude.
Oh, so true.
Why? Because you ain't got over it.
Or you run into someone new, you end up, you know, you begin to have a
start comparing him
new,
to what used to be. Come on.
That's true. Or there's a trigger. Something happens that triggers those feelings from old within you, and then you're treating them badly, and they don't know why.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I had a book talk with a group of people in Atlanta recently, and it was so awesome because so many men showed up. And one of the things that one of the gentlemen said that night was, "I'm not a Ghostbuster. I don't want to fight your past. I don't want to fight your ghosts." Mm. And it just really stuck out to me. It stung me because I had to even think about my own experiences where there have been triggers from people, and they had no idea why I was, you know, treating them the way I was treating them. But it was because something they did triggered a hurt from my past. And I hadn't gotten over it. I hadn't healed. And so then I was taking it out on them, and they didn't know why. Yeah. So I thought it was really just amazing that he referred to it as a Ghostbuster. And so many of us have seen Ghostbusters movies, so it was great.
Yeah.
It was a nice throwback.
Yeah, absolutely. He wanted to play the game, and you were calling time out.
Yes. I had already called a draw.
Yeah.
Or forfeit it, you know.
Oh, wow. The Game According to Life. I'm going to read you all this. This is on the back of the book. And it says, are you going to tell her? Tell her where I was last week? I'm tired of the way she looks at me. I'm tired of her walking around here like she's all that. Tell her. Oh, you don't want. Oh, you don't want to talk? Okay, then, how do I know you were in Raleigh last week? Econo Lodge, room 114. How do I know that? Yeah. Oh, you'd be like, I want to get to that chapter now.
Good chapter.
Yeah, you know. And it goes on to say, my heart began to pound so hard I thought my chest would explode. Was he in Raleigh with you? I asked OCDC, who now stood in front of me as my husband. Were you there? I turned and say to this other person who had become my obvious competition over the last 3 years, no, let him tell you. The Game According to Life by author K.S. Lewis is filled with insight. As she says, she doesn't call herself a professional. She's speaking about life experiences that many of us have dealt with and who are raising children and will probably have to deal with if we don't give them the rules to the game ahead of time. But this book is so insightful. So insightful. So, Kay, beyond this, you're going to be now hosting a radio show. Tell us about that.
Sure. So on Wednesday nights at 10 p.m., I, along with three other people, host a podcast called Kicks and Giggles, Wednesdays at 10, and we talk about all kinds of different just themes in relationships. So a couple of shows that we've had already, we've talked about cheaters. And we actually had to do two episodes on that because it was so much information.
I know, that's right. Y'all, you need me? I can talk to you about that one. I got my badge.
So we're also going to talk about, you know, divorce. We'll be talking about blended families. We'll be talking about double standards in relationships. Mm-hmm. And not just male-female relationships. Sometimes we'll talk about, you know, friendships and how sometimes they end up going awry and you kind of mm-hmm. have to figure that out from, you know, from the point of no return. So we'll be doing a lot of interesting conversation wrapped around the relationship theme because that's definitely where my passion lies.
Great. So what's next? Is there something coming behind the game according to life?
Yes, there's a couple of projects coming up. Definitely be on the lookout for some exciting projects. There'll be a second edition of the game according to life. There's actually going to be a workbook format, and it will enable people to have facilitated discussions and conversations about the themes that are really prevalent in the book. And so that's coming out in 2016, as well as an opportunity for other people to get involved and submit some things. So those are two of the main projects that are coming up, and I'm really excited about those.
That's awesome. So tell our listening audience tonight how they can find out more about this book and you, the author, and opportunities for sittings where people can come and you can share more about the book with them. Is that possible?
Yes, most certainly. I am definitely available. My website is girlcalledlife.wix.com/KS Lewis. It's a little bit of a long site for now, but they can look me up on Facebook. There is a KS Lewis page on Facebook that has my email address. So anyone who would like to invite me to come and do a book talk or what I call a chat and chew, where it's a small group, an intimate setting where people have already purchased the book and read it, and it's an opportunity to just have conversations around the book, and we have a little bit of food as well. I'm also on Twitter at Brown Eyes, and I'm on Instagram as well at Girl Called Life.
Awesome. Well, Kay, thank you so much for your time this evening. Listeners, thank you so much for joining in. This will be in our archives, and I will have it on Facebook and Twitter. For those who didn't get a chance to listen to it live, they'll get an opportunity to listen to it in the archives. We thank you so much, Kay, for this great read and for all the impact that it's going to make in the lives of those who are willing to embrace it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. If you ever need us, you call us. We're always here for you.
I will. I definitely need you.
Well, listeners, as always, we encourage you with the Empowerment Place. Do something each day to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, we want you to please take the responsibility to empower someone else. One way you can empower yourself is by reading this book, The Game According to Life, by K.S. Lewis. Find her on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Find her. Order this book. Empower yourself, and let's make a difference. We love you all. Join us on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock a.m. for another empowerment message. God bless you all. Until next time. Good night.